I'm Leo Netty, I'm 78 years old and a former telegraph operator with the Post Office Attendance Department. 35 years ago I gave all that away in Melbourne and came up here to Beechworth and became the telegraph operator here at Beechworth in our historic telegraph station where we are today. Way back when I was 14, my family made a great decision. They said, you're not going back to school, you're going to work. I started off my career as a telegram boy, riding a red bike around the town, the suburb of Melbourne, delivering telegrams. But they told me one important thing very soon after I started. They said, if you want to get off that bicycle and out of the hot sun, learn Morse code. I studied at night school and at home, learning the Morse code so that it became indelibly impressed in my mind, and it became, or started to become, a second language in that I could actually talk in Morse code. I was still only 16 at that time, so after 10 months in the training school, I came back out in post offices, not as a telegram boy, still on the same wage, but as a manager of telegram boys and a sender and receiver of telegrams.
My name is John Sydenham. I was born in Edwardstown in South Australia in 1934. I joined the PNG as a telegraph messenger on the 17th of December 1948. While I was a telegraph messenger at Brighton, I was fascinated by the Morse. And so I went to night school for about 12 months to learn the basics. I was chosen by the PMG to do a 9-month full-time training course. I qualified as telegraphist and went into the Chief Telegraph Office in Adelaide. I'm part of the South Australian Northern Territory Morsecodians fraternity. We're a group that tries to keep Morse alive. Now, I go to Alice Springs each year as a part of that group, and I enjoy it immensely. The public are very interested. They come in and they send their telegrams, and they are fascinated by that because a lot of them have never known what Morse was, and a lot being younger have never heard it ever before. That gives us a great kick. A lot of those people want to take our photographs, come up and shake our hand, and even some of the ladies have given me a hug. So I'm quite delighted.
Well, Morse code was such a good deal at the time because it was fast. Everything else that was used for communications was basically very slow. We could use horses to carry messages. We could use owl sailing ships. We could use pigeons. And we even used mirrors, flashing mirrors and flags. But they all had one thing in common. They were all very, very slow. We needed something fast, and Samuel Morse came up with an idea. He called it the electric telegraph, whereas a long stretch of wire charged by batteries with a switch on one end and a sound-making machine on the other, he could, by opening and closing the switch, create a special sound, a metallic click or clack at the other end of the wire. And that was one of the very first ways of communicating fast by sound introduced into the world. And that was way back in the 1830s.
Telegraph in the 1950s, when that was the main time I was there, was very important. Telephones were few and far between, and long-distance calls were very expensive. And so telegraph was used extensively. And from a place like Alice Springs, for example, people on outlying cattle stations only had one means of communication, and that was by telegraph via the Flying Doctor Service. And the Flying Doctor Service used to receive messages from these cattle stations, send them on to us, and from there in the telegraph, we would transmit them on to their destination. Telegraph played a very important part, especially in isolated areas.
One night, one Sunday night, I asked Graham in to have tea with Mum and Dad and everything. And anyway, Graham came in that night, and while we're at the table, we started knocking and sending Morse messages to one another. Of course, Mum and Dad said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, we're just talking in Morse code, you know." "Well, how can you talk in Morse code? You're not in the post office." And I used to turn jokes and that, and then laugh like mad while we're having dinner. And Mum and Dad, in the end, enjoyed our fun we were having. And I just sort of fell in love with the instrument that was, can do something that no one else can do. My mother actually wanted me to go to the Bendigo Post Office. And while I was working there, I used to deliver telegrams. There was an examination to become a telegraphist, so I had to learn Morse code. I thought, this sounds great, I'd like to be a telegraphist. We finally had the exams, and we were sent round to the telegraph office for working. I was so happy about it when I got into the post office at Bendigo and learnt Morse code, I just loved it. I still love it to this day. I still operate this day.
This man's son, he was away in a distant place and had run out of money. And because you paid for telegrams by the word, he sent his father this message: "No mun, no fun, your son." The father got the telegram and replied back to his son, "Too bad, so sad, you're dead." Now that was an example of a fairly brief telegram.
Well, I think the saddest moments is any time is the type of telegrams you get. Some are happy ones, some are work ones. "Don't come Monday" is not a good one to receive.
Social telegrams, buying and selling shares on the stock market.
To weddings or birthdays.
To the test cricket, where we would send press telegrams and ordinary messages about how the cricket was proceeding.
Sending good wishes to their mother. And I probably did the same thing, but to be involved with so many other mothers was something special as well. Think about it, that all smile when they got their telegram delivered in by a little boy on a bicycle, the same way I started. Probably the worst of all are the bereavement telegrams. During the early war, seeing telegrams of the survivors of that had been in hospital and didn't quite survive, and a telegram was duly received through the telegraph system.
There's often been discussion amongst telegraphists about the speed of operators.
There seems to be about three difference. Top operators, which can work at, say, 30 to 40 words a minute. Others can work 25 words to 30. Others can work about 18 to 25.
Perhaps I would refer to it more as rivalry. We all used to think we were better than the next bloke. You'd say, "Oh, well, look, you know, I can do so many in an hour." Or, "I took so many from this man and I didn't break him." When you say you break somebody, that means you've got to break the circuit because you haven't been able to understand what he's sent. So you break the circuit and ask him to go back to the next word. So if you broke somebody when you were receiving, it was sort of a no-no and frowned upon. Of course, really, there could be a sender that wasn't sending very good Morse, so you had to break him. You had no option because you couldn't read it. But if it was good Morse, you would never break anybody. The Overland Telegraph was built between Adelaide and Darwin.
It took 2 years and 3 months to complete. It started in 1870 and completed in 1872. Charles Todd, who was Postmaster General of South Australia at the time,
he decided, well, we can't get messages through to England like if we wanted to in a hurry. And he said, if I want to write a letter, it's going to take 3 months to get over there to get an answer.
He was fighting hard with the government to get them to finance this project. Eventually, he convinced the South Australian government to put up £100,000 to make a start. And eventually, they got underway. There were basically 3 crews of workers working on 3 sections of the line. The first section from Port Augusta up to nearly Alice Springs was pretty easy. The section from Alice Springs up to about Charters Towers was a bit harder. But the last section from there right through to Darwin, through tropical jungle and all sorts of problems, tropical weather, took the longest, caused the most problems, and eventually got completed, but it was a hard job.
There were 36,000 poles erected for the overland telegraph line, and these poles were mostly steel, which had been imported from England, and 36,000 insulators, which were made in Germany. And the wire itself was 8-gauge galvanised iron wire, the same that you would find on a fence. And it was a single strand of wire. There were 12 repeater stations on the way between Adelaide and Darwin, where there were batteries that boosted the current in the wire that allowed these signals to be transmitted.
The batteries that were operating the lines only lasted to about 300 mile. So every 300 mile, they had to have another operator to send or repeat the message that they received in that office. And that's why it took 7 hours. Todd sent a message to Darwin to see if they've got it. And all of a sudden, he got an answer back from his Morse code sending from Dunmurra to Adelaide. He got an answer back within an hour. That was the completion of the Australian Overland Telegraph Line, which went from Adelaide to Darwin.
British Australian Telegraph was negotiating with Indonesia and Australia to build a submarine cable, that is, a telegraph line on the ocean floor between Java and Darwin. And the object of that was to connect the telegraph line at Darwin to that. And as soon as that happened, we were able to send telegrams from Adelaide all the way to Java. And at that time, there was another submarine cable stretching from there right up through Malaysia and Singapore into India, and then on from India, all the way up through the Middle East, into Turkey, across into Europe and down to England. And as soon as we got connected up in Darwin by Todd's Overland Telegraph, we were able to send messages to England via that submarine cable.
I was very disappointed when Morse finished, because I thought it was a skill that not too many people knew, and it was a great thing to have.
Morse did fade out in 1962, and then it was all Tress. When I heard Tress coming in, I said, well, this is the end of my working here, to a mate of mine. And said, "I once Morse goes, I'm going too."
I've been involved now for 56 years of Morse code, and I suppose it come about because I've always loved it.
Understandably, there's not that many of us left in Australia, because I'm one of the youngest surviving, and I'm 82.
I'm now the second youngest telegrapher still operating.
So within very few years, there won't be any landline telegraphers left in Australia.
Probably only about 30 operators left in the country at the moment that will actively man a line.
The worst part about it is a lot of us old operators are disappearing.
Because there are no newcomers interested or have the desire to want to do Morse.
This room I wanted to make as a telegraph room. We painted the room out and I took a trip away and I said I'd love to make a nice Morse codian room for myself where I can go anytime I like and play a bit of Morse when I like, everything like that. I went away one weekend. My wife stayed home. And when I came back home, she had, over the weekend, put all these telepoles up around the room in place of the Overland Telegraph. And I loved the Overland Telegraph so much, I had to just get all the connections and all the printings and photos and everything I could get to make it into a telegraph room, and which I did, and today I have most gear of the telegraph on these two tables. Every day I seem to think of something different. The old Morse days, who I used to operate with. This is my life in this room. I would be nowhere else in the house. I just love the ornaments around, photos around, operate Morse to other contacts, and it's a private feeling for me. I just love the place.
I was invited to the Melbourne Telegraphists annual reunion.
And there was 60 telegraphists.
Because our numbers are declining, it's good to see a number of like-minded telegraphists together at any one time.
And they're all talking about the old days when we used to work.
And the discussion that came out about trying to keep as good as we could the tradition of Morse throughout our remaining years was an important subject.
The people that didn't turn up known one another for 40, 50, 60 years have known one another, and we're still meeting one another each 12 months. It brings you back in time, it takes you back more than anything else. The camaraderie in the post office, in the telegraph itself, would be unbelievable anywhere else, I would say. Did I feel sad when the Morse was finished? I think I said earlier that I was going to leave the job when the Morse was going to finish, so I'm going to finish too.
When those of us that are surviving depart this world, that'll be the end of landline Morse.
Well, I'll be really sad to see Morse code go, probably because I won't be here either. There's another reason for that. But yeah, it would be sad not to have anyone to send to. Our activities in Morse code is all about keeping it alive, bringing it back to people. What the telegraph system was all about. Oh, otherwise it'll get lost in history. Did